It's showtime, folks. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. I'm Chase McCabe. What's up, JoJo?
Officially race week for you, right? By the way, let me apologize. I'll sound like Miley Cyrus throughout the whole show today. Physically, I'm fine, but my voice sounds terrible.
That'll be me Monday, which is why I'm taking Monday and Tuesday off.
So it's officially race week for you, right?
It
do you
is.
Have something to do tonight?
I have a lot to do. It is.
You can't talk about this event tonight?
I wasn't prepared to do that yet. No. Going to an event with Speedway Children Charities at the Podium One in Laverne. With John Roberts, longtime NASCAR guy. So a couple of drivers are going to go do simulation races. So
nice.
Yeah. So should be a lot of fun.
Will you be on the call for that tonight?
I believe so.
Look at you.
Is there any other questions you want to put me on the spot about?
You don't know where you're going to tonight.
I know basically what I'm doing.
Okay. That's good, though.
What color socks did you choose for tonight?
Black.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Promote what you're doing.
Thank you.
I mean, not everybody gets asked to do this. It's an honor to be this. And what are you doing this weekend?
Do you think that that I didn't think of that and was going to ease into the show and then, you know.
It's not. When you do it, it's kind of like, it's self-serving. But when we do it, it's kind of like, hey, man, promote yourself. Now, what are you doing this weekend at the track?
I'm the track announcer.
Love it. See? Love it. And that. Be a good time, right?
Yeah, it will be.
Are you doing the first down Rackley? You doing that Friday night?
Yes.
Good. And then Saturday, what time is that race Friday night?
6:30.
Okay. And then the Xfinity race is Saturday?
6 o'clock.
Okay. What time is it?
5 o'clock.
Is that on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay. Is that good or bad?
Good. Right. Anyone complaining about it, you haven't been paying attention, so you don't deserve to watch. No, I'm kidding, but it's just kind of like, I mean, like anyone that gets surprised about a league, a sport that's like, what do you mean they're streaming only? I don't know what to do. I mean, it's been that
Good
way for the
Lord,
last
what
five
was that,
years.
Foghorn Leghorn?
No, it's just the I don't know what to do. It's like my mother. Like, what do I do? I'm like, well, you know how you go watch your show on Amazon? Yeah, well, it's the same way.
Same way. Get it done. Yeah. All right, well, good for
That's
you.
That's how it is.
Well done on that.
John McClain going to join us at 9:30 today. And speaking of NASCAR, driver Ryan Blaney will be in studio at 10 o'clock. So looking forward to talking to the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yep. So he'll be here. I'll see him this weekend, too.
He's got a great birthday. New Year's Eve.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. All the fireworks for you, buddy, for Ryan Blaney.
Very nice.
Yeah.
9064 says, Prime coverage is awesome, boo Fox.
Okay.
A lot of people hate Fox. I guess because of the gimmick stuff and everything. But, yeah, I thought Prime did a nice job with the Coke 600.
Are they done? Is NASCAR done on Fox now?
For this year, yes.
Okay. Then when does NBC pick it up?
So there's five races on Prime, so four more, five on TNT, and then NBC picks it up. So after that.
Speaking of things being right in the world, our good friend David Reed was doing the update yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something which got me really excited. He said, all's right in the world because last night the Braves were on TBS.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
I was watching the normal broadcast. I didn't know they were on TBS.
What's the normal broadcast?
The FanDuel Sports Network.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So I was watching that. I had no idea they were on TBS.
It just sounded like, oh, man. Because remember rushing home and watching the Braves and TBS in the 80s and the 90s.
Pete Benwern and like 07?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back in the day. I mean, that's why they're kind of considered America's team.
Oh, yeah.
Because... Yep. And the Cubs, too. Cubs were on WGN, and the Braves were on TBS.
All Cubs game were at 120, man. And then we'd rush home after school, and they would be on.
They're still at 120. That's like a thing in Chicago. Like that it's either – like if it's a night game, I think it's like 7:10, and then 120 for majority of the day games.
I just thought it was really cool just to hear that last night.
for all that that goes on.
Yeah. Man, you...
I can't... I'm trust me.
You're getting deep there.
I know, brother. All right.
Coming up next on the Midnight Shift.
It sounds like Josh Turner a little bit.
All the all request. What request would you like to hear, Dr. Crane?
Long Black Train.
Thought you were...
Easy.
It's a great song.
Good song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get on the right train. Watch out now.
Devin and Dixon says, Prime is doing an amazing job with NASCAR. By the way, will Chase be at the late model race Thursday night at the fairgrounds? Yes, I will.
I think it's Mr. Racing. I mean, he's going to be everywhere.
I will be.
You know what makes me sad? The go-kart track over by Opry Mills is no longer in existence.
Oh, did it close?
Yeah.
That stinks.
I think it was fun. I mean, so do we have any go-kart tracks around here anymore?
I do not know.
Have you called some races at the go-kart track?
That could be fun.
Yeah, just ram your buddy under the wall. I mean, those things, and the 15-year-old kid screams at you. Like, yeah, what are you going to do, man?
Turn him.
Nothing you can do.
So we were at a family reunion one time, and my uncle and I got in trouble because we were trying to be Dale Earnhardt, and that got us in trouble because I wrecked him.
I'm sorry, tomorrow's National Biscuit Day, and the Maple Street Biscuit Company, a proud member of the Cromwell Media family, is on TV right now.
Very cool.
Kenneth, real quick, and I had this rant last year, it'd be 5 seconds. Convenience stores, please stop locking one of the two doors that we walk in out of, right?
You had this last week.
It drives me crazy. Please stop. Any business, please have both doors open, because you yank on the one door and it doesn't go open. It drives me in. The 7-Eleven in Hermitage does that. I'm like, why is that door? Well, it's just the way it is. Well, what if there's a fire? I'm going to bust through that door. Unlock that door. It's not hurt. Why is the door there? I don't get it. You want to say something? Then don't.
No, I'm not going to.
Let me give you a hug, man. That's another $1 million for me. All right, I feel better. If you have a business, please do that for me. Thank you.
Very nice.
Yep.
Dr. Crane, I'm going to make you do this because you should do this. You have a new podcast out. It's not a new podcast, but you have a new edition.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been I guess you could call it a passion project a little bit, the Nick Frazier podcast, just something I've been doing since high school. And Paul Carsey hopped on the podcast
He came into your studio, too.
He did, yeah.
Your studio is nicer than this one. I just want you to know.
It's a basement studio. I just got a can of paint and some, I guess, LVT for the most part that we use. It looks like faux wood and just did some nice, you know, patterns on it.
It looks good.
So,
okay, well, this weekend, you come on.
Noted. Could do something. I mean,
I'm kidding. Where can people get this fine piece of work?
Watch the podcast on YouTube. Just type in the Nick Frazier podcast or any of your preferred podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio as well. So it's kind of
crazy.
Wherever
you get it, right?
Wherever you get it.
Did you sit down in your basement?
Yes.
Did you ever see the movie Misery?
No.
Okay.
Is it similar to the Debbie in Dallas or something?
Oh, my God. No. No. Not close.
Okay.
It's about this famous author, James Caan, wrecks his car, and he gets rescued by this woman, Kathy Bates, who's completely psychotic. And she kidnaps him and ties him up in her bed for like months.
It's a great movie.
It's a great. She won an Academy Award for it. That's what you should have done to Kuharsky. Kidnapped him, and put him in the basement.
Well, if you saw one of the promos, I mentioned the meat rack that we hang like our deli meats on, and he was like petrified by it, but he wanted to see it as well. I was like, I had to put it away. Like, I just didn't want the deli meats hanging as he walked through the door.
Thank you for putting your meat away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that could be very offensive.
Had to be polite, you know? Yeah.
When that meat's all hanging out, very offensive. All right, we have our question of the day. Can I get to it? Do you mind?
You go right
okay.
ahead.
Okay. Our question of the day. Now, Dr. Crane can weigh in this, and I've given Chase a heads up. We always love your responses. 615-737-1025. Call or text, brought to you by
WilsonCounnyHoundy.com.
Thank you. Who is your all-time favorite player that nobody knows anything about? Your all-time favorite player that when you bring his name up, they're like, oh, I'm not familiar with him. Who is your all-time favorite unsung hero athlete? Any sport you could do. Chaser, who is yours?
I've been thinking about this. I mean, there's a few. All-time favorite probably could be anybody that played for the Tennessee Titans.
True. Nobody knows who they are, right?
A name that came to mind from the Preds is Jordan Tutu. Because I bet there's not a lot of people. Maybe a few remember him because He was the first player of Inuit descent to play in the National Hockey League, so he had that. But I would think that the average, you know, hockey fan probably doesn't know who Jordan Tutu is if they weren't a Predators fan.
I could see that. Still, yeah. The number two most beloved Preds fan, Preds guy, player of all
time.
Oh, yeah. Pekka, and then him.
But he was one of those guys that if – and it kind of happened when he left here because he went to Detroit and Chicago. Like, he played for the enemy teams, and it was like, man, this guy's a pest.
Right? Who was the Dallas guy he knocked out?
Mike Ribeiro, I think. Or no, Robitaille. Yeah, it was Robitaille.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Still one of the most vicious connections. It wasn't Ribeiro.
Okay.
It's that other guy.
Yeah, Robitaille.
Robbie Stanley knows. Robbie text Chase, let us know. I'll never forget when Tutu turned around, and because he didn't see him. He kind of like felt him. And Tutu turned around and hit him. In fact, I think I've told you this. The police department came to Channel 2, and we made a copy of that for them for police training on how to deal with somebody coming behind you. You don't know that they're there. Hmm. It was crazy. And that was... But that's a great answer. Mine is, and I love old football, but we brought him up. If you don't remember, Jim Jensen played for the Miami Dolphins, Crash Jensen. He was a tight end. He was a fullback. He was a special teams guy. He was the backup quarterback. Nobody knows his name. The guy played like 11 years in the NFL, and Marino loved him. The guy would do anything it takes to win for your football team. He comes to mind. Bill Frelick, who played for the Falcons, a lineman. Nobody remembers him. He was amazing at Pittsburgh, blocked for Marino. And with the Falcons, I'm like, these guys, man, nobody knows these guys. But they're special to us in some way, shape, form, or whatever. And for me, hockey with the Preds, I always loved Darcy Hordichuk. I mean, that dude just did whatever it takes to help the team win. And nobody really remembers him. But to me, I remember a lot about Darcy Hordichuk.
Yeah, that is a good one. Who was the I'm trying to think of a basketball player. He's not unknown because he was on these championship teams, but like Manu Ginobili was one of my favorite
good
players.
One. Yes. That's exactly what we're looking for.
When he played, for some reason I liked like Ginobili, like Sasha Vujacic was another one, played for the Lakers. That just like the something about the point guard with long hair.
Yeah.
Just,
oh, that's nice.
But I mean, Manu Ginobili, whenever he shot a three, it was nothing but net just about every time.
Oh, that's very cool.
So, yeah. I mean, those are a couple that come to mind. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. We'll get some of your answers. The question is,
who is your all time favorite unsung hero that when you mention to somebody, they're like, oh, I have to look that guy up. Somebody that's not on the radar big time, but somebody that is near and dear to you.
615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday. John McClain at 9:30. NASCAR driver Ryan Blaney in studio with us at 10 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Dude, where's my office? I totally lost it because I was half-baked. Doobie Brothers. I was smoking doobies with my brothers. Peace out. See you, Crest.
I always love that. Chase the Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Our question of the day, a player that you just love all time but not well known.
Exactly. That's it.
615-737-1025. Got a lot of responses here on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Starting with the text, Lenny says Bo Van Pelt from the PGA Tour. I do know him. But
see, that's a great one. I have no idea who he is.
Terry says Tommy Agee from the Auburn Tigers.
Tommy Agee, yeah, Agee. Fullback. Yes. That's a great one. Thank you for that.
Devin and Dixon says mine is definitely Jordan Tutu. He was the man. Neil was asking if it was Mike Mendano that he hit. No, it was Stefan Robitaille.
That's it.
Yep. 0178 says I still have a tutu whistle. CT, this is a good one. Jesse Chavez from the Braves. Always re-sign him, DFA him, and then re-sign him.
When did he play?
He's still playing. He's had like eight stints with the Braves. I think he's in Gwinnett right now.
Keep playing until they tell you to beat it, man.
Thomas on a car phone. My unsung hero would have to be Bob Horner from the Braves. He used to walk up and knock home runs while looking like a beer league softball player.
Yes. Thanks, guys. Remember, he had four homers in one game. By the way, he's one of only a handful of players who never played in the minor leagues. He went straight from the Arizona State to the majors. Pete Incaviglia was another one that played for the Texas Rangers, but Horner was one of those guys.
Michael and Madison, I absolutely love Willie Rofe, Hall of Fame left tackle for the Saints and Chiefs. Retired before I ever got to see him play, but I pulled his card in Madden a few years ago, and his name combined with how much of a big boy he was made me a fan for life.
Nice.
It's a good one. I know that name. 2147, Steve freaking Kerr. Liquid Drano, baby. Dream team.
That's right.
What was Kerr was good.
Was he on the dream team?
He was not. He was I don't think.
No, he was not. But he hit the shot, right, that won the Bulls a title one year?
Yeah, because, I mean, Jordan talks about it in The Last Dance that, you know, Phil Jackson drew up the play for Jordan to take the shot, and Jordan was like, no, they're expecting me to take the shot. Let Stevie take it.
That's it, yeah.
And Stevie took it and drained it.
Because John Paxson hit the one in 93 versus Phoenix, and then Kerr hit the one, that one.
Brian and Gallatin, Kyle Vandenbosch is my favorite player ever. As a kid, I got to play in a game at halftime of a Titans game, and we got to see their locker room, and he was super nice to me, and I wore number 93 for the rest of my career. Chris Hope, the Titan safety, was also another good one. KVB is definitely up there.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say, like, for Titans, in all seriousness, like, Kyle Vandenbosch and Drew Bennett probably fit this question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We might be one or two we left out, but then that 08 team with Vandenbosch and Haynesworth, yeesh.
Dave Ball. Dave Ball was one.
Ballroom Blitz.
I knew you were going to say that. He was one. Donnie Nicky.
Love Donnie Nicky.
Was one of those guys. Trying to think of Isaac Bird. I always bring up Isaac Bird. I loved Isaac Bird. Nevada Josh, Rocket Ismail.
We know him.
Yeah.
Well, a good one.
But he's not talked about as much now.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you still bring him up like, oh, yeah, Notre Dame, Canadian football, Toronto, and now in the NFL.
Skyler says he's not talked about a lot but is well-known. Tim Lincecum, the freak, was problem to opposing teams when he was pitching in his prime for the Giants.
Good one.
It's a good one. 2463, Mookie Wilson.
Yeah, Mets. Yep. Nice. That's a good one.
1701, Gilbert Peralt of the Buffalo Sabres was a true sportsman.
I don't know.
I think I've heard the name. Josh in Clarksville, for me, Don Beebe and Steve Tasker were players that were electric on the field and made special teams fun to watch. Also, Benito Santiago as a catcher was the epitome of cool for a position that was notoriously not cool. Throwing guys out from his knees was unheard of.
Sometimes he threw from his butt. I mean, he was an amazing catcher.
Let's go to the phone. Steven has been waiting patiently on our question of the day. Steven, what's up? Steven.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Big Joe, I've met you once in Kansas City, and I went to Overton, and you went to McGavick and everything. You're a big old dude.
Yeah.
I used to call in and talk to you a lot.
Yeah, so watch yourself.
And you and Chase sound alike. Has anybody ever told you that when you're listening to the radio, sometimes you guys sound the same?
Have a good day, Steve. No, I'm kidding. No, nobody has, ever.
Okay. Well, okay, my favorite, well, y'all do sound kind of alike. And Jamie O'Rourke, who was a running back for Vanderbilt in the early 70s, he was a star at the time, but I know most people listening don't know who he is. Do you remember him at all, Big Joe?
I do not.
Well, he was awesome. When they went to the Peach Bowl in 1973, he was a big part of that. He was a great running back. He was, I think, all SEC at the time. And he invented the floating thing that you use in the pool. You know, those things that you float on.
A noodle?
Yeah, the noodle. He invented that.
Oh, nice.
But my favorite one that most people would maybe remember is Robert Parrish, the chief.
The Chief. Yeah.
That's a good one.
The Celtics.
That's a real good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steven, thanks for the call.
I love y'all's show.
Appreciate you. Talk about using your noodle.
That's right. Is the Chief still alive? He is still alive. He's 71 years old. Robert Parrish.
Yeah. He was a good one. Robbie Stanley weighs in, says he was a big Yannick Perreau fan with the Preds.
Yannick, is that a joke or is that?
No, no. Okay. Yeah. It's a good one. Tim wants to weigh in. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, Gus. A lot of people might remember Sergei Krizakrazov, or as we love to call him, Sergei Freezer Blankoff.
That's a great one, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Sergei was a good one.
Was he the one that got in trouble?
I don't know.
The playoff game in Arizona?
No.
Who was that?
That was Alexander Radulov and Sergei Kostitsyn.
Okay. There was a Sergei.
Way after Krizakrazov.
All right.
615-737-1025. Patrick says, a great question. As a Bills fan, loved Shane Conlon, the linebacker from Penn State. He gave everything he had also. Congrats on the nomination for Best Radio Show. Hands down the best. Thank you very much. We were nominated by the TAB for Best Sports Coverage.
Yeah. Still. It's like, what? Still waiting to be punked.
Sure. Few people are questioning that, and
so are we. So don't worry.
No, that's okay.
Shane Conlon was a great linebacker on a Bills team that was stacked with Cornelius Bennett, Bruce Smith. God, who's the other linebacker? Goodness, it was really, really, really good. I can't recall his name right now. So that's a good one. Really good one.
Let's see. 2133. I was a third string linebacker in high school. Didn't get to pick my number. And I got 57. I was like, nobody good has ever worn 57. Then I discovered Ricky Jackson. I don't feel like he's talked about enough.
Hall of Famer, baby. For the Saints.
Yeah.
It was great. Played at Pittsburgh. Another good. You know, I thought this earlier that it would be a fun show if we go from 1 to 99, name off numbers that come to mind first. So I think 57, Dwight Stevenson, former center for the Dolphins, played at Alabama. He's in the Hall of Fame. Only played like 7 years. He's Marino center. So when I think of 57, that. But Ricky Jackson's a good one.
That could be a fun game. Like, just I name a number and you say a player.
Right.
In any sport. See how far we could go. That could be interesting.
73.
Jake Scott.
Nice. Well done. I go John Hanna. That's well done. Let me give you two more before we go to the break. 50.
Thornton. What was his
Thornton
first
name? Mellon?
No, what was his first name for the Titans? John Thornton?
He was 78.
No, who was the guy that came from the Colts? Who's the linebacker that came from
David Thornton.
David Thornton, yeah.
Ah, nice.
Yep.
All right, one more for you. Let's give you number. This is fun. I want to give you the obvious ones. Give you one that'd be like, boom. 22.
Vincent Fuller. I just went Titans. But.
Well, that's all right. Still a number. Had a hell of a game of Monday Night Football versus the Saints. Yeah, good job. I go Doug Flutie.
I could also say Ward Burton.
Ward Burton. It doesn't matter. It could be anything. What number is Ryan Blaney?
12.
12. Okay. That's an easy. That's like, because I would never throw out 12 for you.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy.
I'd probably get so confused, though, that like.
When I say 12, what comes to mind? First thing comes to mind, 12.
Bradshaw.
Yeah. I go Brady.
Or Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
23.
Michael Jordan.
I was thinking football.
Golden Tate?
Yeah, Golden Tate.
Golden Tate's a good one. Shout out down in the Grove, Golden Tate.
52.
Oh, man. 52 is a good one. Gosh.
I'm trying to think of guys here.
52. Come on, Joe. 52.
Do you have one?
Nothing comes to mind.
I don't have a good 52.
Mm-mm. No, I don't. Oh, man.
We'll have to think about that.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Somebody send us a – I'm not going to Google. I want somebody to send me a 52.
A 52. We need a 52.
What about race car? You need a 52?
No.
Dang.
22, Derrick Henry, of course.
Obviously. But can't even think about that. Yeah,
52.
I just go what hits me in the mind first, and I can't do a 52.
I don't even know of a Titan with 52.
It's got to be somebody.
Was Clay Matthews 52?
He sure was. I think he was.
57.
No. Clay Jr. or Clay the third.
Yeah, I'm talking about like my era of Clay Matthews.
Yes,
yeah.
He was 52. Packers. Yep.
Dr. Crane, look at you, buddy.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a real good one.
Second grade math coming in clutch.
There you go. I would have never thought about that. Well done, man.
He sure was. Coming up next, John McClain going to join the show. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel and broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
I think Andy Reid is taking the game of offensive football to another level that people are trying to emulate. In all leagues, junior high, high school, college, but JUCO, on down.
Do you credit Andy Reid for that, or do you credit Patrick Mahomes because he's able to do that?
I credit Andy Reid with that because Andy Reid did it with Randall Cunningham. Not Randall Cunningham, with Donovan McNabb. Yeah. I mean, he did some amazing things with McNabb and never won a Super Bowl. And I get they didn't win a Super Bowl. I understand all that. But Mahomes helps him to go out. Mahomes is running the game plan that Andy Reid created. But as far as football, I mean, I was just talking to him last night. It's like people in the coaching world and all that, they're just love Gruden and all with this unboxing that goes on. I mean, I'm thinking, is there anybody close between Altho Sankey in there? And to me, Goodell, I'm still Goodell's a pawn. He doesn't do anything for me.
That was our conversation yesterday here on the program.
I hate hearing my voice back. That's way too long. Can you make it 2 seconds next time?
Sure. Sound like Chewbacca a little bit.
That was what she said. Thank
I knew you,
you
were going to do it. We bring in John McClain now, who can weigh in on our question from yesterday. And, of course, John McClain is presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. So, John, the question was, who is the most influential person in football? I said Greg Sankey from the SEC. Joe said John Gruden because of all the social media following that he has now. What say you?
John Gruden, first of all, Greg Sankey has nothing to do with the NFL, and he's influential.
Well, it could be either one. So for college, I said Greg Sankey.
College is dwarfed by the NFL, and everybody knows it. And Greg Sankey, selfishly for the SEC, that's who he's paid for, and that's what he wants, what's best for. And the SEC is clearly the best conference, and is the 800-pound gorilla, and sits where it wants. But when it comes to football, there's only one, and that's the NFL. And Roger Goodell is by far the most powerful and influential person in the NFL. What he wants, he gets. What he's done behind the scenes, he gets what he wants. There's no owner who tells him what to do. No, that's not true. A lot of owners tell him what to do, but he does what he wants to do, and he wants to do what's in the best interest of the league, in the best interest for himself, because most of his contract is tied into bonuses, and that's why he makes like $60 million a year, and that's cheap for the way the money has increased under his stewardship. And I've always thought the second most influential person is Jerry Jones, but Jerry can't even get another Super Bowl for AT&T Stadium. And usually it's outspoken color guys. Like if Nick Saban was still at Alabama, I would put him up there as one of the most powerful. But as far as the NFL, Gruden was influential when he was on Monday Night Football after he won his first Super Bowl. But after the racist emails, a lot of people were turned off by Gruden. And one of the reasons is because, you know, of course, a lot of black people were, but a lot of white people were, too. And it was smart of Barstool to hire him because I think, based on what I've heard, Barstool appeals to young white guys. It would be less turned off by what Gruden said. But when Gruden was on Monday Night Football doing one of the most, if not the most popular draft segments, it was those quarterback things he did on ESPN that got so much attention. That was the height of his popularity and influence.
All right, so I want to ask you this on Goodell, because I don't disagree with you, but does he live? I mean, is there like a handful of owners that have his ear, maybe more than others, and so therefore they influence him a little bit? Or do you think that this is all like, hey, I want 17 games, we're going to get 17 games. I want 18 games, eventually we're going to get that. Do you think that's all him? Or do you think there are a handful of owners that maybe have a little more pull?
There are a handful of owners that he would talk to more than others because he trusts their opinion. There's a lot of owners who call him up, and if they get him instead of one of his underlings, they'll tell him what they want about something, and he's got to pacify them. But the bottom line is, when he wants something done, like he'll reach out to a team like Green Bay on the tush push. Didn't work by two votes. I bet it's overturned next year. He wants reseeding, and because he didn't have enough votes, he tabled it. But I'm telling you, both of them are coming.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, as far as X's and O's and influencing the game that way, who do you think is the most influential?
Oh, gosh. You guys were talking about Andy Reid. Andy got blasted constantly till Patrick Mahomes got there, and all of a sudden, he's a genius. He used to get blasted because of his clock management. If you ask him about it, he was so defensive, as all head coaches are. They don't mind you saying they're a bad coach, they ought to be fired, but boy, when you question game management, clock management, they get infuriated. And I would say today, John Harbaugh is very influential because of his consistency. He does it behind the scenes. And Andy Reid, of course. The guys who are usually influential are the ones who have great quarterbacks. The only great coach I have ever seen who didn't have a great quarterback was Joe Gibbs. He won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. None have been mentioned in the same sense as the Hall of Fame. Well, Doug Williams was, but that'll not happen as a player. And does that make Joe Gibbs the greatest coach in history? I don't know, but all the others had the quarterbacks. And once you get that great quarterback and you start winning, like Sean McVay, and he's influential because of all the coaches that have worked under him that become head coaches. Andy Reid has had quite a few, but they usually bomb out because none of them got a quarterback. But today the coaching trees, the legacies, are important to the coaches. They take great pride in it. And considering the Chiefs are perennial Super Bowl contender, Andy's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
I agree on that one. John, let's talk current. What's going on now? Kirk Cousins, this is all just weird because I think like he's being held hostage. And I don't know what's going on here. The Falcons paid him $10 million. And if they keep him until the season starts, they've already paid him $100 million, yet they want to shop him. Where do you see this thing ending?
Well, I was told months ago he's not going anywhere. They got Michael Penix, who played, what, half the season? It was really good. What if he has a sophomore slump? What if he suffers an injury like he had in college? If you think you're going to win your division, you better have a competent backup quarterback. Cousins wants to go somewhere where he can start. You know, their thing is, look, we paid you a fortune. We signed you, and yes, we drafted Penix, but we need to be prepared, and they know if they traded Cousins and then they needed a quarterback, Easton Stick is taking over. I can't imagine any team in his right mind would want to play Easton Stick. And I think this, people just automatically assume, well, the Steelers will trade for Kirk Cousins. Well, what if Kirk Cousins has to stay there? And he's not happy. He's not going to rock the boat. That's not what he's all about. But he signed the thing in good faith. Being held hostage, you know, he may look like that. You look at it that way. His fans may look at it that way. But the bottom line is they paid him a fortune. They can do whatever they want. And I would think if the Steelers don't get Rodgers, and I still believe they will, but if they don't, they would have to make a preposterous offer to get him You may have to give up the number one pick to get him, because ordinarily, if you're going to trade somebody, you would have done that before the draft.
John McClain is with us. We will continue with him coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, the NFL.com has an article, basically 32 of the most underrated players for each team, and they named Amani Hooker for the Tennessee Titans. I found that to be interesting because of, you know, all the what they've done on offense and Cam Ward. But how important is it for a rookie quarterback to have a solid defense that they can trust, to know that that might take a little pressure off of them?
Well, it's important, of course, but it's more important to have an offensive line and a running game. That takes more pressure off a quarterback than anything. And but if you're doing three and outs all the time, even the best defense is going to struggle. And I think they've done as well as they could possibly do in one off season to improve those areas. But if he doesn't have a running game and an offensive line that can open those holes, they're in big trouble.
John, I'm hearing more and more talk. You hear it usually in May and June about preseason games. Ja'Marr Chase talking yesterday about how bad the Bengals are in the preseason and the slow starts and playing preseason games. Do we see a turn in more guys playing in the preseason now, or is it forever three games people don't care about?
I think it's three games people don't care about. But if you are the Bengals, you have to look at why they get off to slow starts every year. That includes offense, defense, the team. And maybe there's something to that. They need to play their starters more. Maybe they need to play them in that last game. And when I started covering the NFL in the 70s, 80s, really until there got to be a salary cap after free agency and everybody freaked out over injuries and how it would affect the team salary cap-wise, not to mention on the field, they changed. But before that, they would move it up to where the starters played a quarter, starters played two quarters, starters played three quarters, and they played four quarters in the last preseason game, and they were ready to go in the opener.
John, what was it like when they had six preseason games?
It was training camp, was a week with rookies. Then the veterans came in. Then the veterans had about 10 days before they started playing six preseason games, exhibition games, as they call them. And they were more competitive than they are now. They weren't just for rookies and mamas and daddies watching their kids play. I mean, they went all out no matter when it was, because you could have as many.
Did we lose John?
Did John get raptured?
It was a lot more fun to watch back then, Joe, than it is now.
Oh, I'm sure. John, our question of the day is, your all-time favorite NFL player who flew way under the radar, that if you brought his name up, people would be like, oh, I need to look that guy up. One of my all-time favorites, guys, was Jim Jensen for the Miami Dolphins. Love that guy. Did whatever it take to help his team win. Is there anybody that comes to mind when you think about favorite player that nobody really knows anything about?
Well, they knew about him as a general manager, Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson was special teams captain for the Oilers. He played every special teams. Players talked about how valuable he was to them winning during the Love You Blue era, when they went back-to-back seasons losing at Pittsburgh, one step short of the Super Bowl. Nobody knew who Ted was outside Houston, and then all of a sudden he goes to the Packers, wins the Super Bowl, and everybody knows him as one of the best general managers ever. And the late, great Ted Thompson would be my guy.
Okay, so when you were covering him, and I'm curious about this, of players that, you know, go into coaching or go into the front office or whatever, did you have any inclination that he could be a guy like that, or is it just at the time he was a good special teams guy?
He was a great special teams player, great leader, and I thought at the time he'd be a coach. And no doubt in my mind, Ted Thompson would be a coach. And after Ted retired, he went into business here. And his best friend, Mike Reinfeldt, was working for Ron Wolf, the general manager in Green Bay. So Ron Wolf had a rule: if you were going to be a scout for them, you had to make $30,000 your first year. So they called Ted, brought him up there for an interview.
Wolf liked him. He said, would you like to be a scout? We'll pay you 30. Ted said yes, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's a good start. When Floyd was coaching and then switched to the front office, did that surprise you?
Absolutely, it did. Floyd was known as Sarge because he was so tough on the linebackers. Jerry Glanville didn't have a defensive coordinator because he made all the calls. And then when Glanville, he didn't get fired. Bud let his contract run out. And when his contract ran out, he went to Atlanta. And Tommy Smith, Bud's son-in-law, came up with the idea of trying to keep him as a front office guy. And they went to Floyd to see if he wanted to do it. He went on and talked to Sally about it. And they're like, yeah. And when he took the job as being an assistant GM under Mike Kolevac, who treated him terribly because he thought he was a threat to his job, and Jerry Glanville, after he told Jerry, I'm not coming with you to Atlanta, Floyd got a box in the mail, and he opened it, and it was a black rose symbolic of his career in the NFL being killed.
I've never heard of that. That was from Glanville?
That black rose came from Glanville in Atlanta.
Oh, that is fantastic. John, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
John McClain joining us here on the program as he does every Wednesday at 9:30, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. Ryan Blaney is scheduled to join us. He's running a little bit behind, so it'll probably be a little bit after the 10 o'clock hour. So we'll come back, reset our question of the day here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.